Christianity, and Dean has been spiritual well-being, and this is all part of a kind of a large-scale theme. And the first time that I was talking, we talked about listening to others, listening to ourselves, and listening to God. Then I spoke about, which included reflective listening, journaling, thoughts, our thoughts and feelings, share those with God, and listening to His answer. The second section was on communication with God, and that was in His Word, in song. If you remember, I sang a song while talking to the Lord and prayed through the Bible and practicing being in His presence. And we practiced praying through that. We kind of tried that out and did that, and maybe you're even continuing to do that. The things we're going to talk about today when we say communication with ourselves, we're going to talk to ourselves, examine ourselves, and let go of ourselves. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you so much for you care about us. You care about people. You died for us, and you are asking us to do the same. And I just ask that you would bless this time. This seems like a very strange topic, Lord, but we just ask that we would look at what you have for us today. What do you have for each one of us as individuals as we learn how to maybe listen to ourselves or communicate to ourselves or examine ourselves? Lord, what do you have for us today in your name? Amen. So we think about maybe first listening. I'm going to kind of cover a few things that we went over last time or a couple times I talked ago, which was listening to ourselves seems easy. Listening to myself, I listen to myself all day, and boy, am I boring, you know? And we actually avoid really sitting quietly with our thoughts. I brought up like the song that Mike shared, which was from 21 Pilots. The character was alone with his own thoughts because his radio had been stolen. He hated that. Why is it scary to listen to ourselves? Because all the stuff we bury comes out, or it could come out. The pain or maybe anger that we feel is going to be there. But to be a spiritual disciple of Christ means that He has areas He does want us to clean up or look at. David understood this. And David didn't have PowerPoint, but he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." And this is kind of the theme verse for us today. "And see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." So, for the moment, turn it off right now. Turn off your other things. You got other things going on today. I know you do, because today's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. But we want to turn all that off for the moment. And we're going to look to the Lord. Get rid of your distractions for a moment. As you're not only today, but as you get alone with yourself and with the Lord, get rid of your distractions. Change your environment. This really helps me, because if I sit down at my desk, either of my two desks, the one at home or at work, what do you start doing? Work. You start looking at all the junk on your desk, all the stuff you have to do. You start looking at your computer, and you start getting emails, and you do it. So I like to go to the parks or outdoors, particularly not the place you normally do stuff, because then we'll start doing stuff. The other thing you can do, we talked about journaling, is, I like to do that at night, like, what was my day like? Oh, Lord, these are the things I faced, and this is what I felt about them. It's kind of like a diary. And it opens your mind up, because you start thinking about yourself, or start thinking about, what did I really think about? What did I really feel? And then you get in the conversation. And this is the part that is what I start talking about, talking to yourself. So maybe start asking yourself these kinds of questions. You know, besides what happened today, I lived through school. You know, I made it. You know, love me. I'm all done. Start asking yourself the question, do I feel like I messed up some well? What did I feel? What am I anxious about? What is my relationship with this person or that person now? What do I really feel? And I'm not saying, start judging yourself or be a terrible person. Just bring it all out. Really listen to what your heart is saying and try to answer the questions. For example, I was thinking about this. This kind of happened. I do a lot. There's two areas where part of my mind gets distracted, so I'm able to be a little more focused, and that's when I'm running or working out, because part of your mind has to do the physical part of it, And so it's really good at that. It's kind of like chewing gum. Chewing gum distracts part of your mind. You know, run, 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 chew gum, chew gum, chew, walk, 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 you know. I can do that, drive, 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 you know. That part, or mow the lawn. Mowing the lawn is also tedious, but it distracts a part of your mind that usually can get in the way. And so I was kind of driving, and part of my mind was distracted, and so this verse popped to my head for me. And these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. I wasn't even thinking about this, but I was kind of thinking, boy, what's rough in my life? What's tough? And then I thought, is my joy full? You know, is this really true of me? Or am I a joyous person? Do I really, I have Christ in me. I have a beautiful family, a beautiful wife. I have a loving children. I have these things. And am I focused on that? Am I focused on I have eternal life in Christ Jesus. You know, I have friends that love me. I think I do. And I have fellowship with believers. But am I a joyous person? Or do I focus on the negative? And I would say, no, I'm not joyous. Or I felt a little convicted. I said, why not? Well, probably because of all the I've been focusing on the bad stuff, and I apologize for that. You know, I'm thinking about sickness, you know, and my job and my health and my church. But, and maybe this happens to you, but does the verse say, I was thinking about this, these things that you have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full, because as long as you have a really good life. Oh, wait, that's not there. That's not there. How can I have joy apart from those things? That's what it's really saying. I can have joy right now when I remember what Christ has done for me. You know, I got to do and read the paper to talk to someone else, and I can find a dozen people. You know, you read the paper, you watch the news, or you look at what's going on around me, and I just thought for a moment, it's like, and I talk to anybody at my job, and they have it worse than me, by far. By far. Mostly broken marriages, mostly broken families, for the most part. To have someone actually still married is unusual. And they're unhappy. I can find many more people that are sicker than me. So what am I complaining about? You know, and later I journaled all this, and I said, Lord, when I put Jesus in the equation, I can feel joy. I can feel real joy because of what he did. I don't have to complain, and I apologize that I've been doing that. I realized somewhere that as I've had this conversation with myself, the Holy Spirit, that's what happened, because I wasn't thinking about this verse. But, you know, that's the thing. The Holy Spirit is there and interrupted and interjected truth for me, even though I wasn't even thinking about anything. I was just thinking about, woe is me. What a terrible person, you know, blah, 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 that kind of thing. And he can do that easily since he lives inside of each one of us. So he's kind of standing there, man, how long do I have to listen to this before I say something? Really? You know, after we're talking to her, you know, talking, oh, woe is me, boy, this is terrible, or wow, why can't I be more like this? And that's when he interjects his truth, you know, if we let him. And that's when we realize it becomes part of who we are. It's a spiritual conversation that we think happens on its own, but it's so self-discussion is okay. We really kind of do it all the time. Another verse that talks about this is in Proverbs and says, if you want to talk about something that really looks at the way we are, or good reflection of the way people are, that's the book of Proverbs. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. What it's really saying is that what we really believe is in our heart. When we really look at ourselves objectively, which is kind of hard to do, but the Holy Spirit can do that for us. And when we invite the Holy Spirit into our conversation, the Holy Spirit meets us where we're at. It brings peace and calm. A great example of this, you ever read Psalms, and where he goes back and forth, like, this is a great example of this. In Psalm 139:19, he says, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. And this is one of the nicer ones, by the way. For they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do not loathe those who rise up against you. I hate them with the utmost hatred. Wow. They've become my enemies. Woo! Yeah, that's a lot of anger and hatred. And he really is feeling it. Remember the verse that I just shared? It's right after this. It's the very next verse. So 22, I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. You know what? Search me, O God. And know my heart. It's the very next verse. And Psalms, many of the Psalms are this way. Crush them with a crusher of crushinator. Kill them all. But Lord, you are great. You really want to see someone that's got bipolar. Look at the book of Psalms. Any particular ones he wrote, you know, the ones he wrote, you could tell. This is, without even looking at it, tells you, at the beginning, it usually tells you, or it tells you who wrote it. And you could say, all right, just by reading it, this is David, because it's got this duality in it. And he softens and he says, the very next verse, look at me, Lord. Maybe this isn't what I want. This is what I feel. But what you can help me expose who I really am. Look inside. What is it I'm supposed to believe here? What is truth? Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any grievous way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. Because that is the everlasting way. He knew that hatred isn't the everlasting way. Communication with ourselves should include the Holy Spirit. And you really are never alone in that. Okay, so we talk to ourselves, and we haven't, you know, normally when you talk to yourself, people take you off to the funny farm, right? So, but that's okay, and that's part of self-examination. So, in fact, we're encouraged to self-examine, to communicate with ourselves. So another way to spiritually communicate with yourself is self-monitoring, and we're going to look at this in kind of three ways. Another term, like in the safety, in the business I'm in, there's safety things that you do, and there's quality things that you do, and there's all this stuff you're supposed to do. And one of them is called self-check. And you self-check your work. Like, say, you look at what your email that you wrote, and you read it again to make sure that it is grammatically correct. You read it again to make sure that there isn't anything in there that could get you fired. You look in there to make sure you haven't said anything like dumb or it isn't true. And so you read it over and over again. That's called the self-check, because it's possible that the very first time you went through it isn't what you actually intended to say, or if you're reading it from the other person's perspective, making sure that it's correct, or the technical work that you do, or whatever it is. Like in safety, one of the things is self-check is, am I entering an area? Like, for example, if you work in nuclear or chemical or petrochemical, any of those areas, they're very, very dangerous areas. So you walk in, it's known as self-check and evaluate the situation. Am I walking into an unsafe situation? And am I going to be okay? Is this really good? Is this really smart? You know, if there's a cable that's flanging around with electricity, oh, man. Well, I hope someone fixes that, you know. But it's probably okay. They're getting to it. That probably wouldn't be a safe thing to walk into, right? Or there's chemicals spewing all over and your monitor's going off. That's a self-check, right? You don't go in there. So in the same way, this verse kind of talks about that. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? So if Jesus Christ, we're encouraged, this is really talking about the faith, but it's encouraging to look at ourselves in light of Christ and who we are in Christ. And I propose we test it in three ways. There may be other ways, but this is the one I could fit in 40 minutes. So what we say, what we do, and what we think, those are the big, big, easy ones to do. So what are some things you're saying to other people? Is it right? Is it good? And our mouth is a big problem. So what we say can be very hurtful. And this verse really sticks out to me in talking about that. The good man, this is Jesus talking, out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks that which fills the heart. So, as you are speaking, really, is this what I want to say? Checking my email. Think about what you say before you say it. Do you have a check valve there? Or reviewing what you've said in the past, or even in that daily conversation with yourself, did I say anything or do anything that may have been hurtful? Did I really gossip or slander anyone today? You know, did I really say something maybe that wasn't necessary? Did I say something encouraging, or was I really a downer? And that's what I was kind of doing. I was looking, am I really an encourager, or am I really just dragging everybody down with my stuff? You know, does this person need to know what I'm saying? Am I really, you know, am I saying, hey, you know, this is something I really appreciate. This person is like, find out who you should be praying for. You know, is that what we're really doing? Am I speaking, just speaking to get attention? You can even ask somebody else what they think. Look at the book of Proverbs for many verses on tongue control. Boy, you want to really talk about that. So, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with the gossip. Now, that's not the particular topic of today's discussion, but this is just one area you can be looking at yourself and going, wow, let me just check through my day. Is that something I'm doing and I just can't see it? You know? Put a check valve maybe on what you're saying. Am I checking what's going out? You know? One of the things I appreciate, my dad, it used to drive me crazy. I hated it. I really hated it. But, you know, you would ask him a question, and he wouldn't answer right away. He still does this, and it's like, oh, I know why he does it, because I do it now. Is if it's an important question, it's not like, hey, you want to go do this or something. But if it's an important question, he won't answer right away. He thinks about it. He really wants to make sure that it's the right answer. And I think I do this too. And make sure what I say and what I'm going to say is well said and not just blah. I don't want to vomit on people, right? That would be bad. I don't want to do that in real life, obviously. But I don't want to do that with my words. I want to make sure that what I'm saying is reflective of Christ. And I think this is a good verse here for really thinking about how we should communicate with one another. We're going to talk about this next time. But know this, my beloved, every person be quick to hear, really be a good listener. We talked about that. Slow to speak and slow to anger. We want to be those things. Listen to what you're going to say before you say it. Have a check valve. Do you just blurt out the very first thing that comes to mind? That is a habit that will leave you with very few friends. You know, you ever heard a person say this? I shoot from the hip, right? I'm a straight shooter. I tell it like it is, right? You ever heard anyone say that before? Yeah. The problem is people get shot. It's presumptuous to believe that what you're saying is the truth. It better be the truth then. If it's not, if it isn't right, if it isn't exactly where that person needs to hear, better think about it first before you start shooting. Because some people shoot quietly, and others use machine guns like the Terminator. Feel my love. This is why you are so terrible at everything. Let me tell you about it. That's why Hans and Franz is so funny. Because they're so arrogant, so presumptuous, that it's over the top, right? But if you do that if you were to really do that in real life, that wouldn't go very far. Would many people listen to them very much? Only for humor value, right? How can you, as a human, have so quickly made sure that you have fully evaluated all the actions to pass judgment without concern of what happens next? If you're not sure what to say, it's best to say nothing. This is God's word. This is what Proverbs says. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. So it is. You ever hear the term, it is better not to say anything and let people think you're smart than to open their mouth and remove all doubt. Am I encouraging? Am I an encourager? Am I obeying this verse? Am I therefore an encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing? Sometimes we have to cut people down because that makes us feel better. Am I doing that so that if this person looks terrible, I look better? Am I secretly really doing that? Ask yourself, is this building what I'm saying and what I'm doing, is that building up the body of Christ? Do I encourage people with praise first, or I'd let everybody know what is wrong with things? Do I really love them, or is it matter more that I'm right? Or that I come out on top? That's the way the world operates, that you come out on top, that you're smarter. Because it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. It's because it's the survival of the fittest, right? But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. If you're not doing this, then deceitfulness will come in, and the little lies and everything start making their way in. So what do we do? This is what we say, but what do we do? Have you ever tracked your time? How many of you have, you know what a day timer is? Have ever heard the term day timer? Who have you heard the term timer? Yeah. Wow, I'm surprised some of the children actually heard that term. Thank you so much. I used to use them. It was like a requirement. If you were going to be a spiritual leader in the church, you had to have a day timer. And so you had you would order the day timer. I still use the wallet part, but I don't use all the scheduling is it now electronically in Outlook. And that shows me what I'm doing. And so I looked through what I was doing and what everybody else's, my family was doing, and is this what God wants me to do? It's a self-check. What do I do with my time? What am I really giving my life for? In Corinthians, Paul says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Could you be encouraging a fellow saint, building your relationship with the Lord? Self-check, what am I doing for the Lord? Am I busy, or am I really busy, or have I just filled it with junk food, in a sense? Have I really filled my time with stuff that really isn't very helpful, like TV or games or self-leisure or something else, or work even? Are we resting enough? The Lord says we need to be resting. Are we really resting, or we're just go, 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 trying to fill our time, trying to give ourselves value? Are we really doing things to take care of ourselves and our family? Are we doing the things He's ordered us to do? Like some people will tell me, I really just don't know what God wants me to do. Well, are you doing what you do know He wants you to do? And often or not, they're not. We'll do those things first, and then it'll be clear. Do I really need everything in my schedule that I have? Time is the one thing we have a limited amount. You can have more money, but you can't have more time. No one can have more time. We all have the same amount to work with, because we must work the works of Him who sent us, or this is Jesus talking, I must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Self-check your spirit by looking at what you're doing. Is it healthy? Could you be stressing yourself out? When your time, wherever you spend your time, that's where your treasure is going to be. That's what you really care about. That's what you really believe in, really. And is Jesus there on the other end? Those are things you can be asking yourself. You know, one of the things that like exercise is to take, you can take an Outlook calendar, there's so many different free calendars out there, Word has a calendar, and just print your week, or you can do a month, and just fill it in and say, this is what I do, and really look at it, really look at what you're doing, because then you're like, wow, this is why I feel like I'm running from one thing to the next, or here's why I'm maybe not using this time wisely. So that's something to self-check yourself in. That's what the Lord asks us to do, is just look at that. Finally, what we think. What do we think? Self-check your thoughts. So this is where honest journaling can really help you. Do I have patterns of thoughts that are contrary to what Jesus thinks? Do you have grudges or unresolved problems with people? Do you have unresolved issues that could get resolved with a single phone call? Okay, this is a command. If you're still holding on to something, this is what he says. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, or you against them, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. If you have problems with people, you carry them throughout your life. They don't just go away. They go away if the people go away. But they build. They build. And that's where I think a lot of health problems come from. What's the resolution? And that is truth. The truth of knowing where you're really at with that people. The truth is that Jesus died for you. The grace shown you should be shown to others. Is it matter who's right and who's wrong? The truth is, he's right. That's the overall thing. What matters is that you're reconciled. Rather be free and reconciled as much as it depends on you. If the other person doesn't want that, that's their business. That is on their head. But check yourself for unresolved anger. That to me, just dealing with very, very a lot of different people, unresolved anger is the probable reason. It is the highest reason for depression. Suppressed anger causes depression. That is pretty much a proven fact. Unresolved anger causes depression. And depression leads to poor health. Unconfessed sin, and you would think, well, why would sin and everything be to poor health? Well, it just says that. Unconfessed sin or continual thoughts in the same area are indicators of footholds that Satan has in our life. And the Holy Spirit can't go there. If you've allowed him to be there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's people that need to be forgiven. You need to be forgiven. That's what kills Satan. What kills this whole thing, what kills his strongholds, is exposure. Bringing it into the light. Confession and reconciliation. And one of the things you can be doing, and I'm not going to do that today, but just sit down sometime and say, what are some things, issues that maybe I have with people or that I have with the Lord or whoever it is? And write those down. Wherever there's something I need resolved. This is part of this self-check. Is Jesus really Lord of what I think he is in my life? I mean, we can sit here and say, praise the Lord, you're Lord of my life, you're the Lord of my life. But secretly, maybe he's not in every area. And this is a way to kind of expose that. Because if it's exposed, Satan can only hide in the dark. He can't be in the light. He can't at least function in that arena. Where there's light, the darkness cannot comprehend it, can't even work with it. Finally, on this last note, letting go of ourselves. This verse really spoke to me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, and who loved me and gave himself for me. There's always something, at least this is my experience, there's always something I'm holding on to. And in listening to ourselves and examining ourselves, this will be revealed what we are still holding on to. If there's something in our life this is really mine. This is not, and sometimes we'll say, well, that's not the church's or that's not God's. This is my little thing. And in listening to ourselves, in the area of making Jesus Lord in our lives, it does really mean letting go of what we want in our lives, because that's probably what's hurting us. Because it's incompatible with the Holy Spirit that lives within you, and this is where the conflict comes from. And that's not his direction. That's not his hope for you. You can have it. It's not going to stop you. It's your will. You want it, whatever that is. But he says it's your choice. This is what I like this verse, because if you look at it carefully, it's not a directive. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, this is Paul, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. It's not a directive. It's a free will offering. Like, you know, like this is you. You have to give it. No one's going to make you do it. You know, I'm not going to stand here and go and shake you back and forth and say, give up your life for Christ. Because you have to, because it's a requirement. You have to give it. It must be given freely. This is part of where you need to talk to yourself about this. And daily, you notice the picture in the background is a man carrying his cross, right? Cross daily. Jesus said this, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus paved the way for our self-sacrifice as an example of true joy and freedom. The more we try to take control, the more aggravated we get. I've experienced this myself. The more we try and be in charge and really be selfish, the more conflict we have with others and God. Why? Because they want to serve and worship Christ, but you do not. There's going to be conflict. I can serve the body, like I can serve Christ, the body, and do that, but I can't serve or I can't worship you. Did you catch that? I can serve the body, but I cannot worship it. I can't put you in the place. I can serve you, but I can't put you in the place of Jesus. You can't be on the pedestal. You can't be the focus of the ministry. Can't worship you. And if that's, some people come into the fold, into the church to be the center. And we can't put you at the center because we already have a center. And that's Jesus. And he has to be the center. If you come to only be served, to only be the center of attention, you will be sadly disappointed because we can't put you there. He's already has that spot. He is Lord. I've made Jesus Lord. I can't make anyone else Lord. That's what I've done, is taking up the cross part. We all have to take up our cross part. What that looks for you is different. This is how we best work together when we're all doing it. This is talking about all your parts, all of you in this self-examination agreeing that, yeah, this is a good idea. It may be grudgingly, but it's going to do it. So we're submitting to Christ and getting everybody in there. When I say everybody, I mean everybody in your head. You know, all parts of you in agreement that, yes, we're going to do this. It may not be fun, but we're going to do it. And so every day, what I recommend is maybe getting, you know, after you maybe self-examine, if you see there's areas before the Lord, this is part of carrying a cross. This is part of letting go of that and picking up this thing and being, if you really want to be his disciple. That's what he says. If you, anyone wishes to come after me, another section it says, if you wish to be my disciple, if you really want to do this, you have to carry your cross daily. And if that's something you would like, you can do this every day. And I think we'll close with this. So we're going to pray. And I'm going to present myself to Jesus. And you can do this too. So I know it's Mother's Day and all, but we're going to try this. So let's, in your pews, let's, if you don't have to do this, you can stay upright if you want. It doesn't matter, but I'm going to do this. So, and this is going to hurt me because I hate getting on my knees. It's very painful for me. But just present ourselves to Christ as a spiritual service, a worship. Lord, this is yours. And this could be your time as well. So let's, why don't you get down? I'm going to get down. Oh. And this is quite painful for me, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm not looking at all at you guys. So this is for Jesus. So why don't you just pray with me? And if you agree with it, you can. Lord, I present myself, such as I am, to you. Lord, my body, my spirit, all of me, my mind, body, and spirit to you as a spiritual service. Lord, how do you want to use me? Today, or tomorrow or this week or this month or throughout my whole life. I'm yours. I'm your servant. And I present myself to you. And I just ask that you would use me, Lord. Help me to be a good example. Help me to not be the bad servant that partied until you come back. Let me be found doing what you've asked me to do. Lord, I just ask that in your name. I ask for all of us here that are doing this, that we present ourselves to you and you alone. You are our Lord, and you can only be that. We praise you and thank you in your name. Amen. All right. This is what we talked about. So talk to yourselves in a non-crazy way. Examine yourselves and then present yourselves to the Lord every day. We can have the music team come up, and we're going to worship some more.
While we stand up, we're going to do a few more songs here.